Amen. Thank you, Liam. Katie, praise God. Happy Sabbath, everyone. And Happy New Year as well. You know, a lot of things have happened in the last couple weeks. Hope you had a good Christmas and a good New Year. We had a wonderful time yesterday evening, bringing in the Sabbath and celebrating the Lord's Supper, communion together. Wonderful time last night. Also, last Sabbath, had a wonderful time at GYC. It was nice to be there among all those committed young people, young adults, teenagers, really committed to Jesus Christ. Last Sabbath, I think they counted the attendance at 4,300. So it was very nice to be there among those people. And this last week, we celebrated New Year's down at the Space Needle. Seeing the fireworks there, that was awesome. First time we've been able to do that in 8 years about that we've been here now. And also, the last couple weeks, speaking of fireworks, my wife and I celebrated our 30th anniversary together. So I thought that was worth mentioning. Thank you for putting up with me for all these years. Also, there's a lot to come. In the next couple weeks, you heard today about global rain and prayer that's starting this Wednesday night. We're joining together with people all over the United States and praying. It's a good time to pray, isn't it? At the beginning of this year, beginning of any day is a good time to pray. So let's join together as a church family and become a praying church. What do you say? What did Jesus say? My house should be called a house of what? Prayer. So let's take him up on that and become a place of prayer. Also, in your bulletin, you notice that we've got lots of classes that are starting up. And the first one actually started today. You see it on the screen there, the pastor's Bible class in my office that I'm leading out in. It's really a series of Bible studies called Lifting Up Jesus. And you can see a picture of it here. There we go. The lessons that we're going through starts at 9:30 every Sabbath morning. And the lessons are about Jesus, connecting with him, especially the first 10, about a relationship with Jesus. You remember in John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." So that's what the class is going to be about, lifting up Jesus. So pray for us. We started out today with 8 people in the class. We've got room for a few more. So if you're interested, you're welcome to be a part of that as well. Then, beginning in a couple weeks here on Thursday evening, is a Bible study training class. Those classes will begin at 7 o'clock. And just to give you a little bit more information, the goal of the class is for you to make a disciple. That's it. It's not to finish the course. It's not to do the work. It's not to sit in the class or whatever. But it is to help you to make a disciple. And it's going to be an on-the-job training style. So we're not just going to talk about theory. It's going to be a lot more about practice, involvement, actually doing the work of making disciples. So that's what the class is all about. Again, the goal of the class is not to finish the class, but it's to make a disciple, no matter how long it takes. Is that fair enough? Amen. Hopefully so. All right, so come on out, be a part of the class. I think you'll really enjoy it. Not only will it change your life, but it will help you to be involved in changing someone else's life as well. Really a lofty goal. So pray for us on that front as well. And then the third class is what we're calling discipleship training here. That's going to begin on the 15th. On Tuesday night, again at 7 o'clock. And there's a lot of aspects to this class. We're going to gather together and get to know each other. We're going to have a time of worship and singing, and Pastor Matt's going to lead out in that part of it. We're going to learn together, and we're going to grow together. Again, the focus is not just going to be about learning something good, but about experiencing it in our lives, going from head to heart. Does that sound good? So that's what that class is going to be about. Actually, we're going to be focusing on the basics of the Christian faith, and I'm calling this class Crosstalk. So we're going to be talking about the cross. We're going to be talking about a lot more than the cross, but things that are related to the cross. So that's really what the class is going to be talking about. It's going to be talking about Jesus and experiencing the Christian experience together. In 1 John 4:15, it says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." And notice what it's talking about confessing. You know, a lot of times we think about and talk about confessing our sins to God. But this is different. This is talking about confessing your faith. And that's something that we do before others. So the class is really going to focus on that and getting used to doing that. It might seem a little bit uncomfortable at first because we're not used to that. But the idea is to get used to that, to get us used to that so that we will be more comfortable sharing our faith with others. So we're going to create a safe environment to talk about our faith on Tuesday nights. Does that sound all right? And hopefully that you will enjoy that as well. And it might take a little while to get used to it, but I hope you'll stick with it and you'll really begin to appreciate that in the long run. So I'm thinking more long term. This is not just some immediate thing to entertain you or impress you, but it's something to really help you to grow and improve and change in your life. So pray that God will really keep moving among us. What do you say? Good things that are coming. So that class again, discipleship training, all these things beginning in the next couple of weeks. So please make a note of that. There are some sign-up sheets out in the foyer, and you're welcome to sign up for that. We'd like to know how many are coming, if at all possible. But if you don't sign up, you are still welcome to show up. So please do. I'm sure you'll be glad that you did. Right now it's time for our sermon in your bulletin. There is an insert there, an outline that you can fill in as we go along. And you're welcome to get ready for that at this time as well. The sermon is titled, "Why Are You One?" And before we get into that, let's pray. Father in heaven, again today, this special day and time, the Sabbath, the beginning of this new year, we just invite you to be here with us. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. Touch them. Move them your way. Draw us to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, it was 13 years ago at New Year's time that everyone was concerned about Y2K. You remember that? Some of you that are old enough. Seems like a long time ago now, 13 years ago. And you remember at that time that there were some people that were predicting the end of the world. You know, the computers were all going to malfunction and somehow the switches weren't going to work and the nuclear weapons were going to take off. And that was going to be the end of it. Well, what happened? Nothing. Right. Nothing happened. Then a few months ago, May 2011, May the 21st, same kind of prediction. Some predicted the end of the world, but what happened? Nothing. Then last month, December 21st, 2012, the Mayan calendar was running out, so they thought, well, the world must be running out. But what happened? Nothing. Nothing. You know, from time to time, things come up like that, and some people get swept away by them. We hear about it every so often. But you are wise, and you don't get swept away by things like that, do you? Why not? Why not? I think it's one of the benefits of being a Seventh-day Adventist. What do you say? You know stuff. You know stuff. Our faith and our understanding of the Bible prevents us from being swept away by every wind of doctrine and every strange idea. It's a benefit of being a Seventh-day Adventist. Why are you a Seventh-day Adventist? That's what I want to look at today. Why are you one? Or why aren't you one? If you're not one, why not? We'd like you to be one. Amen? Please become one. Why are you one? Why are you one? Here we are. We're just beginning the new year, 2013. And oftentimes when we begin a new year, we usually look back on our lives and ask ourselves, how was it? How has it been over the last year? And then we look forward to the new year and we ask, how can this next year be better than last year? How can I be better this year than I was last year? And so we do this strange thing. We make these things called resolutions. Have you made a list? You're wise. You don't go into that either, do you? New Year's resolutions, things that we break in the first week and then we get on with life. But we do things. Some people do things. They resolve to be better, like I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to be smarter, I'm going to finally get organized, I'm going to get right with God, I'm going to be healthier, I'm going to clean out the garage, stuff like that. And the new year is a good time for new beginnings, a fresh start. I love those. New starts, new beginnings, fresh starts. And so today I want us to take a look at your faith. Take a look at your faith and ask yourself, why are you a Seventh-day Adventist? How's it been going? How's it been going so far? How'd it go last year? And what can you do better this next year in the area of your faith? Why are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Sometimes we think, well, the 28 fundamental beliefs. But there's really a lot more to it than that, isn't there? It's like 280 fundamental beliefs, or maybe even 2,800 fundamental beliefs, really. There's a lot more to it. Why are you a Seventh-day Adventist? You know, you don't have to be one. Think about that. You don't have to be one. In this free society, in this free country, you can be whatever you want to be, and you can do whatever you want to do. Now, it's also important to point out that not every choice is a good one, even though you're free to choose. And it's also important to point out that I'm not giving you permission to go and do whatever you want to do. And God is not giving you permission to go and do whatever you want to do. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be saved no matter what you do. But you can choose to do whatever you want to do. So why do you do what you do? Is it because everyone else is doing it? Is it because your family does it? Is it because you were taught to do it? Or is it because you have chosen to do it? Why are you here today? You know, you could be at home in bed right now. You could be at home watching cartoons. You could be shopping. You could be working today. So why are you here instead? I'm here because I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm also here because I'm the pastor. And that's a totally different story. But why are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Why are you one? Have you thought much about that lately? Why aren't you a Muslim? Why aren't you a Buddhist? Why aren't you a Hindu? Why aren't you another type of Christian? Why aren't you a witch? Why aren't you an atheist? You know, you could be any one of those things or none of those things. In this free country, you can be whatever you want to be. So why be a Seventh-day Adventist? Is it because it's the easiest life to live? Is it because it's the most popular? Is it because it's going to make you wealthy? So today I'm asking you to dig deep. I'm asking you to look close. I'm asking you to consider carefully, why are you one? Why are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Are you happy to be one? How many reasons do you have for being one? And are those reasons good reasons? Today I'm going to run contrary to the norm. I'm going to run counterculture. Because today the world in which we live wants everything fast. Well, I'm going to give it to you slow. Today the world wants everything short and quick. I'm going to take my time and be long. I don't mean just today. So relax. Because it seems like Christianity has become kind of narrow and shallow. Have you noticed? Well, I'm going to try to make it deeper and broader. Is that all right? Restore some of its depth and its breadth. Because you see, I believe the answer to the question, why I am a Seventh-day Adventist, is a long one. There are many, many, many reasons for being so. So today we're going to begin, a long journey together. May take months, may take a few years for us to go on this journey together. And along the way, we're going to journey with Jesus. Is that all right? We're going to journey with Jesus. And along the way, we're going to become ready for His return. And hopefully, when it's all said and done, we're going to end up in the promised land of heaven. Is that your goal? Is that the destination you want to arrive at? That's where I'm headed. So there are many reasons for being a Seventh-day Adventist, and I don't think we take time enough to really consider them. What are the reasons? What are the reasons? And I don't think we really appreciate what we have as much as we should. I know I don't. I just kind of get busy and go through life and forget. Don't think about it. So I want to stop and think about it. But more than that, I want us to really experience what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist. What we say we believe, oftentimes we just have it up here, but it's missing here, and therefore it becomes missing in our lives as well. So I'd like to change all of that. I'm going to take some time to go through it, probably not all of it, but a good share of it. And some of it, it may surprise you, what we cover. And some of it may challenge you, what we cover. But I believe that most of it will certainly comfort you. And hopefully all of it will inform you. I hope it will inspire you, and I hope it will transform you. You will not be the same when we are done. Is that a good promise? Week after week, you will change. You will be different. I know I will. But more than anything, I pray that God will move here among us, that God will be here in this place and move upon your heart and mine and mold and shape our lives into something different, something that He has intended all along. Are you ready for that? All right, let's get going. Since we do believe that Jesus is coming soon, shouldn't we be doing life differently? Shouldn't we be getting ready? Shouldn't we really know what we believe and why? And shouldn't we actually be living our faith? I believe so. Therefore, I'm going to start with the basics. I'm going to start with the basics of Christianity. Why are you a Christian in the first place? All that starts next week. But today, I'm going to begin outlining the approach that I plan to take for each sermon. And this plan assumes that you're already a Seventh-day Adventist, and that things that I'm going to talk about are going to make sense and that they're going to be meaningful to you. They're going to help you appreciate more and more over time why we are Seventh-day Adventists. So, I think you'll see more what I mean as we get into it, so let's get started. If you have your outline in the bulletin ready, and your pen is ready, pencil ready, crayon ready, we are ready to go. Why am I a Seventh-day Adventist? First of all, it's because I believe that it is Christ-centered to be so. I am a Christian, And that is important to me. Everything I believe and am about is centered around Jesus Christ. How about you? The other day I was reading the definition of a Christian. And it said that a Christian is being Christ-like. And it must have been a particularly honest moment because I thought, I guess I'm really not a Christian then. Because I'm not really like Christ. I have problems. He didn't. There are times when I do things that are not Christ-like. I do things that Jesus would not do. And there are times when I fail to do things that Jesus would do. And I'm also glad that that's not all there is to being a Christian. Because Christianity is also about forgiveness by God because of what Jesus has done for us. Even though I have done something wrong, there is forgiveness. There is a new start. Amen? There is cleansing and healing and help. Jesus loves me and He is there. He is here to guide me and to help me to do better, to live better, to be better. Better than I would on my own or with all the other help there is in this world. He's what's making it better. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why Christ-centeredness is important to me. There's something about my relationship with Jesus that I really like and that I really appreciate. Therefore, I want that to be at the core of my life. How about you? I am a Seventh-day Adventist because that is central, the central core part of what being a Seventh-day Adventist is. And that's just one aspect of being a Christian. There are dozens more. Dozens more to it. And I'm not going to get into all that today. That's just a small slice, a small beginning of that point. So at first, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist because it is Christ-centered. Second, I am a Seventh-day Adventist because it is biblical. I believe in the Bible. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. It is a message to us from God. Just like it says in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, our scripture reading, all scripture is given by inspiration of who? God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, when we as Seventh-day Adventists want to know what to believe, where do we go? Where do we turn? We turn to the Bible, don't we? In other words, do we go around and ask what's popular? Or do we check with the scientists to see what they have to say? What we do is we check with the Bible, because we want to know what God thinks, don't we? Absolutely. The Bible is not a relic of the past. It is our guide for today. Therefore, when it comes to reasons for being a Seventh-day Adventist, I want to know what the Bible says. How about you? So first, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist because it is Christ-centered. Second, because it's biblical. And third, because it is positive. You know, if all my faith did was make me miserable, how long do you think I'd keep it? Not too long, right? Not too long. But if my faith was an extremely positive part of my life, then I'd be much more likely to keep it. How about you? Absolutely. There are times, though, when I often think of my faith as a duty, a drudgery even. There's no joy to it, no appreciation of it. And often I totally ignore the benefits and the blessings of my faith. You ever get caught in that rut? Sometimes that happens. So it's important to have some joy, to be happy about it, to know the blessings and the benefits of your faith. So what are some of the blessings and benefits of being a Seventh-day Adventist? You know, a lot of times we think that because we're a Seventh-day Adventist that we live 10 years longer than the average American. And that's not bad, right? That's not bad. And we often think it's because of our diet. But you know, there's actually more to it than that. There's a lot more to it than that. Recently, there's a well-known study done on the people of the earth who live the longest. And you probably heard of this study. It's published in a book called Blue Zones. Blue Zones. And one of the blue zones, in fact, the only blue zone in the United States, is Loma Linda, California, this little Adventist community down there in California. None of the other blue zones around the world are Adventist communities. So in other words, we don't have a monopoly on the truth, do we? There are a lot of other people that are following good things that help them live longer in this life. But we happen to be one of them. And nevertheless, the author and others have also discovered the key or keys to living a longer, better life, and it involves a lot more than diet. So take a look at this summary of it. It's found in this cookbook here, this Adventist cookbook. What's it titled? Give Them Something Better. America's Longest Living Culture Shares Their Family Secret. So this is a book about Adventists based on the blue zones and why we're included in the blue zone list. So in this book, there's a page that has a summary of things that help us to live longer. And here's the first one. You can add 2 years to your life for being a vegetarian. Notice it's 2, not 10. It's only 2. Only 2 years. You can add another 2 years for eating a handful of nuts each day. So eat all the meat you want, just eat a few nuts, and you're still the same. Here's another one. Ah, here's the 10 years right here. 10 years for not smoking. 10 years for not smoking. Here's another one. 4 years for exercising regularly. That will add 4 years to your life, just as much as eating healthfully and eating nuts. Goes along with it here, 3 to 4 years, not 34, but 3 to 4. For maintaining a healthy body weight. So all these things kind of add together, round it out, and you're keeping part of it, so you're adding 10 years to your life. How about this one? 7 years for volunteering once a week. And I know all you Sabbath school leaders thought it was draining you to be in the Sabbath school. It's actually adding years to your life. Amen. So keep it up. We love you. And this one I really like, the next one. It's the longest, and it's the most important of all. You ready? And I think this means every week. And I think it's only good for Kirkland. So if you add all that up, it's 35 to 43 years longer. We're only getting a fourth of the benefit, it seems, on average. And there's a lot of things that aren't there as well that I'm sure contribute as well. So I would say that these are some positive benefits. What do you say? And all of those things are part of our faith. They are part of our faith, except perhaps the eating of the nuts part. But even that came as a result of a study on Seventh-day Adventists. And they had discovered on average that Adventists eat a handful of nuts each day and that was beneficial. And part of that must be peanut butter, I'm sure. Anyway, so why am I a Seventh-day Adventist? First and foremost, I am looking forward to eternal life. How about you? But second, I am looking forward to a better life here. And being a Seventh-day Adventist offers both. Both of those things. Because it is Christ-centered, it is biblical, it is positive, and it is practical as well. Now, this goes along with being positive. Our faith is practical. also. It involves things that you can put into practice, in other words. It involves things that affect our daily life. For example, eating something is something that you do several times a day, right? Something that fuels our body, fuels our mind physically. Volunteering, another thing on the list, and church attendance affects our lives several days out of the week. And if you or your children attend church school, that involves just about every day, doesn't it? You're busy every day. All of this needs to be positive and practical. It affects a lot of what we do, hopefully, in a positive way every day. While I was a student missionary, a long time ago, in the country of Korea, I met a Buddhist monk while going on an outing with our students to the countryside, to the mountains, to a Buddhist temple. You can see me here, and this is the Buddhist monk with the stocking cap on, keeping his bald head warm. That's why he was wearing that. But he was an American. He had grown up in a Christian home, but he rejected Christianity in favor of Buddhism. So I asked him why. Why had he done that? And he said the version of Christianity that he had grown up with didn't seem very practical to him. Those were his words. It didn't really impact his daily life. It was all about floating on a cloud and playing a harp when you die. That was what he knew of Christianity. And he wanted something that would impact his life now. So what he appreciated about Buddhism was the fact that he could meditate every day. And so I shared with him how my Christianity affected my life, and I said that we are encouraged to spend time with God every day by reading the Bible and praying. And that simple thing was totally foreign to him. He had never heard that about Christianity before. And he responded, his words, "Wow, that sounds really practical." A little bit later on, he came to our home there, and we had a visit together. We were able to talk about our Adventist diet, which he really loved. Because one of the things we learned that a vegetarian diet is sometimes called over there a Buddhist diet. And I also gave him a Bible which he promised to begin reading every day in his meditation time. He was going to start reading the Bible again. And we shared with him what the Bible says about heaven. It's not about floating on a cloud and playing a harp. It's a real place of great joy and abundant living. And he was very surprised to discover that being a Seventh-day Adventist was such a practical way of life. Sometimes we don't think of it like that. We don't often realize that what we have is very positive and very practical as well. It's also logical. It makes sense. Our Seventh-day Adventist beliefs are well thought out. They are not just something that a few uneducated, emotional people came up with one day. But actually, many of our Adventist pioneers were well-educated people. They studied the Bible well. Some were scholars who knew the original languages of the Bible. In other words, they were people who cared deeply about their faith, and they often spent time, long periods of time, studying the Bible and praying. And they compared what they believed with what others believed with what the Bible taught. And they came to the conclusion that they needed to follow what the Bible teaches. Is that your conclusion as well today? Others have gone over the same ground over and over again, checking their work, and it continues to stand up to the test, even to this day. It's not to say that there aren't questions over something here or there, or some verse here or there, and what it means, and so on. But what it is, it's a beautiful picture of the message that the Bible paints from beginning to end. It makes sense. It's logical. Number five, it is comprehensive. In other words, it involves every area of our lives. It informs us about spiritual things. It informs us about physical things. It informs us about the family. It informs us about academic things. It informs us and affects our lives, our careers, our recreation, our entertainment. You name it, our faith has something to say about it. It's like what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says. It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or this part right here, whatever you do, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do means a lot of things. It affects how you think, it affects what you say, and it affects what you do. It affects everything we do every day for our entire life. And it does so in a very positive, practical, logical way. That's why I am a Seventh-day Adventist. How about you? It's not that we have a monopoly on the truth. Most of what we believe is also believed by somebody else. And we'll see that more and more as we go along. But what is unique is the way that we put all this together in a comprehensive package. And I like that. Because so many others share what we believe, our message is also shareable. Shareable. It's winsome. It's attractive and powerful. And there are actually many people out there who would love to know what you know. They would love to believe what you believe. They would love to have what we have as part of their life. But not everyone. Certainly not everyone. That's why it's important to discern who is interested and who's not. It's attractive when it's presented positively, practically, and logically to someone who is interested. It's not something that can be forced upon someone. Because again, we are all free to choose. Amen? God wants it that way. And God is looking for a people who freely choose Him. They choose whatever they want in life, but they see the benefits of choosing Him, the truth of choosing Him. They see that choosing Him is absolutely the best thing that they can possibly do, so they do it. They choose Him freely because they want to. They want to. And they stick with it. They grow in it. They experience it to the fullest extent, and they enjoy it. That is what God is looking for. That is what I am looking for. How about you? That is why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. And over the next few months and years, each week, I'm going to take one aspect of being a Seventh-day Adventist in light of those seven things that we just covered. And I'm going to look at what we believe from a Christ-centered, biblical, positive, practical, logical, comprehensive, and shareable viewpoint. I hope that excites you because that excites me. Never done this before, never seen anybody, heard anybody else do it. So we're charting new territory. Pray that God will help, right? This is a daunting task. My goal is that you will not only appreciate it, but that you will also experience it in your life as well. And again, I'm going to start with the basics of Christianity, and this is probably going to take us the next year or so. There are many things that we take for granted, and I hope to point out some of those things and give us great reasons to rejoice even over the simplest of things. So again, I invite you to pray that God will guide us and also that He will unite us in the wonderful things that He has given to us and others as a church. It's a daunting task. I invite your prayers for me. and for you. And those are some of the reasons that I am one. Why are you one? And if you're not, why not? I invite you to become one too. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again today, as we have begun this journey, taken upon us the task of learning more clearly what we believe and appreciating it more. But even more than that, really experiencing it in our lives today, in this day and age, when we need it the most. So I pray for your Spirit to descend upon us, even just now. Lord, speak to our hearts and lives. Draw us to you. Help Jesus to be lifted up in this place and in our own hearts and minds and homes and lives. We invite you to lead us and guide us on this journey. So walk with us. Be our real teacher and instructor and master here. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. One final announcement, and that is, I understand that there is lots of food. And so if you're hungry, you're welcome to stay for our fellowship dinner right across the way. May God bless you and keep you. Amen.